Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Reverse Shot. I'm John Salmon. Joining me, Andy Peterson.
Once again, I'm here.
Hello.
Hello
brother. You like
Hello.
That? You gotta do a, gotta put a little something on the something.
You have to talk like this.
You do.
Podcast. When you podcast, you talk like this.
You should see how I talk when I'm not podcasting. Today, we are talking about 2018's Hereditary, directed by Ari Aster, starring Toni Collette, Millie Shapiro, Gabriel Byrne, and one of the Wolf brothers. Alex Wolf?
Yes.
Alex Wolf. This is one of my favorites.
And it also stars a piano wire.
But first, we must get into a good old-fashioned cinema brawl.
Cinema brawl, cinema brawl.
This is where we like to pit two iconic characters against each other in a battle to the death. Two enter the Coliseum, one leaves. And today, Andy, we got a good versus evil.
Ooh.
And we got a little tie-in to Hereditary, because this week we have Gabriel Byrne's Satan from End of Days versus Morgan Freeman's God, Bruce Almighty. Who's winning?
Hadn't he been God like a couple times?
I don't know. I don't think he's been God in multiple movies. That's ridiculous.
Dude, I think he was God in the Lego movie.
Oh my, he was something like a God in the Lego movie, yeah. I don't think he was God because Legos, I don't think we're taking it there. But
Legos don't have a God?
We got good old-fashioned good versus evil, baby. Who's winning? God or the devil? Lucifer.
Oh, my God.
And for balance, you're going with Lucifer?
Absolutely.
And with balance, in order to create balance, restore balance, I'm going to say God wins. And nobody loses or wins. We keep them going, baby.
We keep hell and heaven alive.
Keep
baby.
It alive, baby.
We're just living in purgatory.
Jeez, maybe they'll meet again in another battle.
Maybe.
So this movie doesn't stray too far from The Devil and Company. I mean, we're talking about Hereditary 2018, which is a movie about a grieving family that's haunted by tragic and disturbing occurrences, aka, unbeknownst to them, partaking in a demon cult.
Yeah.
A demon summoning cult.
Absolutely, with a bunch of swinging wings and naked women.
Now, when you say swinging wings, what do you mean?
Like, you know, dongs.
When you say dongs, what do you mean?
Well, the anatomy of the male. We have an
tallywhacker.
We have an organ that.
So the pecker.
Yeah, the old pecker. The magnum dong.
Oh my gosh. So I feel like I said, this is one of my favorites, man. I immediately knew.
Standing ovation.
I didn't stand or ovate, but I.
Golf clap.
I knew immediately it was being added to probably one of the best horror movies I've seen in modern times, probably just like ever.
This helped
really
bring
good.
Back horror. Like
it was definitely part of that resurgence for sure.
Yeah, like this, The Witch,
It Follows, Your Next. There was like this wave of some new horror filmmakers throwing their hat into the ring. I mean, Get Out.
This one's a granddaddy.
Yeah, this one treats it with respect.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a cash grab for fun.
It's true horror.
Yes. Actually, I think the best place to start is with the maestro himself, Ari Aster.
Oh. Man, whoever broke that man's heart. Who are you? Just why did you do that? I mean, thank you for doing it because we got some brilliant work from him.
Two great movies. You know what? They actually say if you get really quiet. So get really quiet for me?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you hear that?
Is that Ari Aster's heart being broken
again? That was the sound of Ari Aster's heart breaking again. That must which can only mean one thing.
There's a new movie coming.
There's a new movie coming out. He's like the Taylor Swift of movies. Like, doesn't Taylor Swift, like, make a fire album every time she has a breakup?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they're fire. Are they?
Well, whatever. They're, like, chart topping and stuff. Yeah, dude. Ari Aster just waiting in the wings, dude.
He just waiting.
Do you want to break up?
Hi, do you want to be my next ex and break my heart? I'm looking for some new material.
He's in a relationship and he's just like, so are you going to break up with me today? Is today the day you break up with me? Oh, no, it's not. Oh. Well, if you want to, let me know because I'm going to write a script.
I got my final draft out right now.
I'm working on a final draft. He's working on the breakup. Oh, my gosh. No, but in all seriousness, apparently Ari Aster, I mean, I think he is an odd man.
Oh, very much so.
His short films leading up into this were odd man films. Odd man short films like The Strange Thing About the Johnsons.
Oh, that one was... There was a strange thing about the Johnsons.
Oh, there was.
That one was an odd one.
I believe when you mentioned Dong, you meant to say Johnson.
Yes.
And there is a strange thing about these Johnsons. Yeah. And I think I've seen that one, and I've seen another one, Munchausen. I think those are the two. It's got a few shorts, actually, more than I thought. I thought he only had, like, those two, but he's got this one called Really Works, this one called Bo, basically, The Turtle's Head. Yo, wait. Do you think they're all crazy?
I know what a turtle's head is. Is it what we think it is?
Is it what we think it is?
I hope not. I hope it's not about a man that just has to take a dump.
No. No. Oh, maybe. It could be, man. Could. Here's the synopsis for this 12-minute short comedy. It's a comedy.
Okay.
Called The Turtle's Head. An aging, hilariously slimy detective with a taste for womanizing is distracted from the case of his own career when he starts developing a mysterious medical condition.
Oh, dude, it's definitely...
He has he's to probably take like a dump. In the middle. Yeah, he has to poop, dude. Yo, it's a horror movie about poop.
About IBS.
Yo, I'm telling you, Ari Aster is a strange man.
He's a very strange man. And a young man.
Yeah. How old is this man?
He's like 34, 35.
Dude, I want to know. Yeah, this guy is definitely a pretty young gentleman. Strapping young lad.
And, you know, shouts out to A24 giving yet another genius a break.
Yeah, man.
They know what they're doing, man. A24 all day.
Yeah, I was reading something about A24 back in the day, and the reason they have, like, smaller marketing campaigns for their movies is that they try to make they want their movies to feel prestigious, like luxurious. So they're not like trashy TV spots all over the place. It's like, you know, you might get one. You get a nice fat poster with a unique look, and it's just a and it does have like some prestige to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're like,
I see A24 pop up. I'm like, oh, okay.
I'm in.
Okay.
And they get banging casts and great directors.
Absolutely.
Great writing, you know. There's not too much happiness with A24. What do you think it's like to work at A24? It's just like grim.
It's like we have another one. Like, okay, bring it in. Let's play it. Play it up on the screen. Let's watch it.
It's either a tragedy or a horror.
Yeah. Or like some foreign drama. Yeah. Something.
It's just everyone's
it's
grim.
Some gritty, grimy movie.
They're like terrific pets. Greenlight it.
Ari Aster apparently has, I'm looking at some of this IMDb trivia. It's great. Like, Toni Collette said that Ari Aster is one of the most prepared directors she's ever worked with.
Oh, you can tell. Every shot is just perfect.
Well, do you want to know how meticulous he was with his shots? Apparently, he was so meticulous. This man had, hold on, I lost it. He had a 75-page shot list for the cinematographer before they even location scouted.
Oh. This man went Kubrick on him.
Dude, the house is a set. The interior is all a set so that they can remove walls, ceilings if need be, in order to create these shots that he probably had in his 75-page shot list. And also to emulate the look of the models that the movie kind of has like this theme with. He also, and this is fun, because I thought, we were talking about this the other day, but we were saying that he must have had Midsommar and Hereditary locked and loaded because they came out a year apart, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got 10.
He's got 10?
He's got 10 screenplays locked and loaded.
Oh, thank God. I love it.
Snap.
I love it.
Yes.
Give me that 4-hour horror comedy that's next.
It also says here, Ari Aster has had his heart broken approximately 17 times. sorry, not 17, 10, which is why we got 10 scripts.
His last girlfriend lost her head on a light pole.
Dude, it's all true. That's what he's writing from. He's been writing screenplays from a super young age, but eventually realized he would want to be the one who direct the ones that he's writing.
I feel like he is like the ultimate person that has to do that. Like, the way he writes, and you can just see it in his direction. Like, it's all him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's just a lot of cool little facts. Another one is that Gabriel Byrne and Alex Wolff have worked together, and Alex Wolff and Millie Shapiro, who plays Charlie, I guess went to school together, so they knew each other. And so the only one who didn't know anybody was
Toni Collette,
who they said kind of works on her anyway, because in the movie she is like this outcast or like the outsider of her family, you know, like everybody's kind of like getting along, but she's the outcast amongst the group. So it actually kind of worked out to their dynamic. Also, Ari Aster made Alex Wolff and Millie Shapiro go in character, eat at a restaurant multiple times in character to try to get to know each other.
So she had to like click?
She was clicking, barely was talking, and pretty much the whole time Alex Wolff is just, or Peter, is just trying to like, come on, Charlie. Why don't you say something? Like, talk to me, Charlie. You know what I mean? Like,
doing bong rips.
at the diner?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Also, it took 30-something days? 30 days to film? 36? 32 days.
Wow.
I think they knocked it out of the freaking park. Toni Collette didn't even want to do this movie. She said, I'm done. She said, I'm done doing dark pictures. I don't want to do anything heavy. I don't want to cry at a dinner table again. I'm done. I want to do nothing but comedies. But then she read the script and said,
I'm in. And
give me that piano wire.
Which,
where's that piano wire?
Which gets me to, is this not one of the most snubbed performances you've ever seen?
Yeah, I think so, man. Yo.
Like, this is up there with, like, Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson and The Lighthouse. Like,
absolutely. That one scene, I mean, dude, she pours it all. And there's way too many scenes of Toni Collette just crying, bro. Going for it. But can I say something? This movie did not break the cry streak.
Oh, you didn't cry?
I did cry. It didn't break it. I was crying.
Why?
Once again, due to Toni Collette.
Oh, Toni Collette's crying got you twice?
Dude, she got me crying. No, not her crying. Her crying did not get me to cry. But when she's at the dinner table and that scene erupts with her yelling at Peter,
y'all
know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
if you haven't seen it, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Deep. That's probably the strongest performance of her career.
Moved me to tears.
Man, Toni Collette has gotten John twice now.
Twice in like a month. Yo, Collette, relax. Please do more. Don't do a comedy ever.
But just no, she was good in Knives Out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's funny. She's fun. She's fun. Yeah, she made me cry in Knives Out. No, I'm just kidding. You thought so, though.
I was like, isn't she like the dumb one?
Nah, like, dude. She's the sad one. She made me cry. She's the crying one. Nah,
dude, she's probably one of my favorite actresses.
She's pretty good. I've never seen her show or The United States of Tara or something like that, where she played like multiple people, multiple personalities, I think.
Oh, that sounds cool.
You never seen that show? You never heard of it?
Mm-mm.
Dang, I think it might have been like an Amazon show or something, HBO, something like that. But yeah, it's starring like five Toni
Let's
Collettes.
count. Well, I can count me in.
Yeah, your favorite actress is in the whole, is every character.
It's better than five Anne Hathaways.
I thought you were gonna say it's hopefully it's better than Velvet Buzzsaw, also with Toni Collette.
Oh yeah.
But that's a whole
We're
nother.
not gonna go
We're not
down.
gonna touch that one.
Nah.
But shouts out to Millie Shapiro, who this is her featured film debut as Charlie.
What do you think it was like casting her?
Well, I wonder if it had to do with Alex Wolff. I wonder if that was complete chance. I wonder if Alex Wolff's like, yo, I got a friend. And Ari Aster's like, where? Where is she? And then maybe that's it. I don't really know what it was like casting. I wonder if it was like
Because she has a
this process to do
unique
so.
look for sure.
She definitely has a unique look. I wonder if that was intended.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that's what Ari Aster was looking for, or did he not have anything in mind?
And how
But
much do you think he loved the day that they did a prosthetic head of her?
dude, he probably loved it.
My man walked in, he was like, yes.
It's crazy because, like, I feel like I haven't just found anything that says that Ari Aster is like a gigantic horror fan. You know what I mean?
Well,
Like,
no, you get Midsommar. He doesn't consider Midsommar a horror film. He thinks it's funny. He really
well,
thinks it's funny.
he like compared this movie to, he says it's more, it's like Rosemary's Baby, The Innocents, Don't Look Now, but he also is says it's like Ordinary People or The Ice Storm. You know, it's just like about a family.
Once I can see Ordinary People, but I mean, in a sense, that's a very tragic film.
Right. Yeah, he was trying to tell a horror or trying to tell a film about what was it? A film about loss, about suffering, but he wanted to make the suffering like realistic, and he didn't want the horror elements. He wanted the scares to be emotionally justified rather than just leaning on like traditional jump scares and stuff, which there's like one or two traditional jump scares in the movie, but for the most part
Yeah.
it's all like emotionally backed.
Yeah. And, the jump scares, they work. And it builds to that great ending. Like, the jump scares are. They're basically Toni Collette chasing Alex Wolff. And then
Yeah, it comes at the climax.
when he
It's not really
jumps.
like some false scare, like a freaking cat jumping out of the closet or something.
Speaking of jumping out, I love when my man jumps out the window.
Yeah, I mean,
He does a dive.
that's a great like moment of realism though, 'cause like what else are you gonna do?
Oh, I would do the same thing. If
Yeah,
I.
some character in a slasher is like opening the window and struggling to get out and then gets like knifed and falls down. No, he just
I'm whipping out.
jackknife Olympic dived out that window.
Full body weight, everything out the window.
A 10. Is that how they rate diving?
Yeah, I think 10's.
Like 10's good?
Yeah, it's not like.
10's no splash.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a 10 is like, you're rating my splash. My splash was a 10.
My fat ass would.
Yeah, I'm hitting an 11.
Yeah.
I
You
feel
would.
like you should get a 1 for no splash. It's
Cannonball,
so good,
baby.
it's 1. I don't know. But yeah, so like I said, I don't know like how much of a horror fan he is. Like if he, you know, was he trying to make something
Maybe that's
scary?
good. Maybe that's like it's like Kubrick. Kubrick wasn't like a horror fan, and he made a horrific film.
Right, yeah. He actually like hated the novel and everything.
Yeah,
And like
exactly.
was like, this book sucks.
Let's make
Yeah,
it.
let's do it.
Ari Aster probably wrote Hereditary. He goes, "This sucks.
Well,
I'm
no, he
making
wrote it. He's
it."
like, oh man, this is so dramatic. But instead, it's like terrifying.
Exactly.
He had to know, man. Chill. You don't put naked old people around.
Yeah, dong and out.
You're trying to make it funny. That's always scary. Why is that? Why are naked old people just unsettling?
Well, naked old people can be funny too. Depends on the setting. You put them on a nude beach. That's a funny scene.
It's a funny scene. You put them in like in an alleyway though. There's just like one an alleyway, man, yeah. In an alleyway. It's like, what the hell's going on here?
You put them in a locker room. Funny.
Funny.
Yeah. Depends where you put your naked old man.
I think so. You're right. You put him in the attic. What the hell?
Yeah, scary. He decided to put him in the woods in a treehouse.
I never really thought about the naked old man placement, but you're right. There is a proper way to do so.
Yeah. A dong can be funny or scary.
You know what's funny is that we watched Hereditary, and the scene where the beginning. Oh no, not the beginning. It might be the beginning. There's like two funerals in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So might have been. I think it's the second one where Toni Collette's just bawling her eyes out after Charlie dies. Spoiler. Wow. Charlie dies, and. We're at this funeral.
She doesn't just die.
Well, perfect. She just dies.
Okay, we'll leave that.
To those who haven't seen it, she just dies.
Yeah, it's cool.
And
it's cool.
It's cool. And at the funeral, you know, Toni Collette's sobbing and stuff. And you feel it. You feel the impact of it. Mm-hmm. And then, like, right after, we watch, like, Hubie Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And then it cuts to, like, a shot of a funeral. And for some reason, it was hilarious.
Exactly. That's another thing. You can make a funeral like Wedding Crashers or...
it's all about that proper
old school
placement.
Yeah.
Because I was like trying to figure out what's the difference here. I'm like, I'm watching a woman cry at a funeral and it's sad. And I'm watching people cry at a funeral and I'm laughing my ass off.
Exactly. Tragedy, that's what it is. Tragedy is funny. Tragedy is also scary.
I believe that's what the tagline for the Joker.
Yeah. I mean, that's Todd Phillips' mindset.
Tragedy is funny. Tragedy can be scary. Tragedy is sad. That's the poster. The tagline for the Joker.
Give us Oscars.
Man, shouts out to this whole cast, I think. There's not a weak link in this whole cast.
No. Shouts out to the pyro team, too. If you know what I mean.
Oh my gosh, yes. So that's another thing, man. Ari Aster, this guy's a G. He said he wanted to only make as many of the effects happen on camera. As little things as possible done in post. So.
Oh, you can tell that wasn't post.
For sure. Well, even like it was reading like the special effects team were doing things that they had never done. Like make the candle light on its own during the seance. Wow, they inserted a magnet into the chalkboard and actually were using a magnet on the other side to draw.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, because there's like a million ways they could have done that. I thought how they were doing that was like the Invisible Man way.
Green suit.
Yeah.
He didn't want a green suit in there.
He didn't want the green suit. He didn't want to do any chroma keys. He said, no, we're going to figure out if they put a magnet inside a piece of chalk and they were wiggling it around on the other side. They said it was extremely difficult to get that chalk to write on it smoothly. Oh, my gosh.
That's insane.
Insane.
And then he said, give me a man. Pour gasoline on him.
Do it. Gasoline.
And fuego. Fuego the man.
They don't put him in any of the, like, that cooling gel.
No.
Layers. No, he just sets the...
Two movies in a row that he's just like, fire, fire. Fire!
He's got that good pyrotechnic, man. He knows what's up.
I know. He's like, bears, fire, piano wire.
Dude, you know who's great in this movie, though? Anne Dowd.
Oh, dude, she steals. She's like the scene stealer all the time.
Joanie.
She's
little
the scene
conniving
stealer.
Little rat. I don't like rats in my what was she in? I don't like rats in my group therapy session. I got rats everywhere. I hate rats. She's out here working for Paimon and the cult. Yo, this movie's creepy, man.
Shouts out to Paimon, man. That's a...
Never that.
We're joining them. John and I are joining.
Never that.
We're getting naked and we're joining.
Wow. Is that all it takes? Because let me go put some clothes on real quick.
I was wondering why you were...
I thought we were just chilling, bro.
Oh, yeah.
What's one of your... What's the scariest scene for you?
The piano wire. It's definitely...
It's really haunting.
That noise. I want to know what the Foley was for that.
Oh, that was Ari Aster decapitating somebody with a wire. He was like, record this. I think, man, it's so hard for me to pick, like, the scene I thought was, like, the scariest for me. When I think about the movie, Toni Collette's face is burned in my brain. The stare, that the wide-eyed stare she's giving as she's hacking her own head off. So for me, like, when I think about this movie, there's so many moments that I enjoy. Like, I can't pick my scariest moment, Andy. It's really hard for me to do so, man. I am creeped out by a lot of things in this movie. For instance, when Peter is sitting at the table and Joan is across the street, or he's sitting at school at lunch.
Oh, yeah. I was just about to mention that.
And Joanie's across the street like, Peter!
Yeah.
And no one can, like, really hear her except him. And she's, like, communicating with him. He doesn't even know who she is. And she's like, I expel you! I'm like, what the heck is going on? If someone were to ever shout at me from across the street that they expel me, I'm scared.
I mean, that happened to me last Tuesday at a Chipotle, but it was just old Tom from the liquor store.
I expel you!
I'm like, now, Tom!
Now, can I get corn and guac on the side? That part always, like, freak, like, just creepy to me. It's not, like, scary, but it's very creepy to me. But, man, I think, like, scariest moment, I think it's when Peter's in the classroom.
Yeah, I was just about to say, the headbang. He's a headbanger, dude.
Dude, play some metal to that. I always pay attention to that scene because the way they reveal him is interesting. You don't get like a wide, really. You get like, you see other people's reactions of him way before you even get to really see what's happening to him. You just get his hand up in the air. And then you see everyone else like looking at him like, Peter, you good? You good? And then it cuts to him and it's like his face is making this crazy... It's in some crazy position that I don't think he could naturally go there. You think he was naturally making that face? Or you think they had, like flaws?
Ari Aster was, he hooked him up and was, like, pulling him.
he was like, he's flying a kite.
Yeah.
Tongue out, like, come on! But,
he puts his people through hell, man.
That part right there is just so creepy. And then... face bash right into the desk. So, you know, he said, Wolf said he wanted to really do that.
My man. He was like, I like him.
He was like begging Ari Aster to let him smash his face. He said he wanted to break his nose on camera.
Dedication. I like my dude.
Ari Aster's like, nah, bro. I can't let you do that. Like, nah.
Wasn't he a Disney boy?
Maybe like Nickelodeon. He was something. Those, yeah. He was like a child actor.
Well, he went dark.
Yeah, I know. Didn't he do like Jumanji and then it was like this? It's like you're part of a family blockbuster, but first, here's the devil. Here's a demon. Oh, my gosh. But then also, like, when the car scene with Charlie in her head, and it's just like, oh, my gosh. And, man, top tier, man.
Very much so. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I recommend it to everyone. I would say go out, watch Hereditary, and immediately follow it with Midsommar, because... that's a good back-to-back duo, and I'm excited for everything Aster puts out.
Shoot, if you want to do the quadrilogy, you want to watch four bangers, you'd go Hereditary, Midsommar, Witch, Lighthouse.
Oh my goodness.
Just brother.
A24 magic.
You just watch some magic.
I love it.
Yes. Oh man. This is perfect time to watch Hereditary if you've never seen it. And even if you have, yo, I know you like it.
Yeah.
Stop playing.
It's a Halloween
watch
movie.
It again. It's
Do
a
it.
Great Halloween movie. It hits you right in the feels. It matters where it matters most.
Yeah, it's a good family comedy, and you know, it does everything it needs to do to you know, put that spirit in the sky.
Yeah, I'm saying it matters where it matters most, because it's not like a horror film that's trying to shock you with gore. It's not a horror film that's like just trying to scare you with false scares. It's all got resonance, heavy resonance to it all.
Absolutely.
Which I think is the best kind of horror. Exorcist stands to this day because of the emotional resonance that it has. It wouldn't stand the test of time if you didn't care about anything that was happening.
Exactly. And this will too.
Yeah, this makes you care for sure.
Yeah.
And with that being said, this has been a personal favorite episode of mine. As we talked about Hereditary 2018. Go out and see it.
Yeah.
If you haven't, what are you waiting for?
Do it.
Find us on Instagram at The Reverse Shot.
Uh-huh.
On Twitter at The Reverse Shot.
Uh-huh.
Anchor.fm/The Reverse Shot.
Uh-huh.
Spotify, Apple, Orange, anywhere that podcasts are available.
Bam.
Andy, any final words?
Don't break up with Ari Aster.
I'm John Salmon.
I'm Andy Peterson.
And we are out.
Peace.